In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since the first Sunday of Lent, we have spent 6 days thinking about the suffering that our Savior, Jesus Christ, will take upon himself for our salvation. And more than this, we've tried to unite ourselves to our suffering Lord by giving up certain pleasures during this holy season of Lent. So we've cut back on our food and drink, on our sleep and entertainment. And so now we might begin to feel that discouragement that can beset Christians when they feel that they might not be strong enough to follow Jesus Christ for the next 30 days or so in his fast. We might think from our own failures so far this Lent that we can't really follow Christ all the way to Jerusalem, where he will lay down his life for us. Now, there was another one who was leading his followers. More than 2,000 years ago, Alexander the Great, a brilliant Macedonian general who ended up conquering almost all the known world in his time and building an empire that would last in some form or other for nearly 200 years, was coming back from a long campaign of 15 years. He had reached the Tigris River. He had reached India with his conquests. And as he led his soldiers back to Greece, they had to cross through a huge desert. And after weeks of traveling through this desert, the men began to die from dehydration. Alexander nonetheless kept leading them back home towards Greece. And such was the devotion of his soldiers that they passed a helmet up through the ranks. And this helmet overturned, they put in a few drops of their ration of water until it was full to the brim. This was their offering to their general Alexander. And when that helmet full of water finally made it up to the fearless general at the head of the ranks, he looked in, saw the water, lifted the helmet up, and poured it right into the sand. Now, why did he do this? Well, first of all, what a heroic gesture. What a glorious thing to do, to take all that devotion and then not accept it, to show that he was going to suffer with his men. How their hearts must have filled with enthusiasm when they saw that their general was going to take their devotion and reject it. A masterful stroke. But in the end, no matter how heroic that gesture was, it didn't do the men any good. It couldn't refresh them. It couldn't bring them safely back to Greece. It could inspire their hearts for a few moments, but then the harsh reality of the burning sand and sun would be right back there. Our Lord's transfiguration, his showing forth his glory to his disciples, is not some empty gesture, no matter how heroic. Our Lord chooses this moment to reveal his glory to his three closest friends because 6 days earlier he had told them that the Son of Man, that the Messiah, would suffer the death of a criminal, would be crucified as an outcast, would suffer a shameful death on a cross. How must discouragement have gripped the hearts of his apostles? Here was all their plans and dreams come to a terrible, shameful end. And it is in the midst of that discouragement that our Savior is transfigured. And if we cannot imagine what the glory of the Lord might have looked like, what would it mean to see someone's face become as bright as the sun? we can at least know it was something truly marvelous, for the words of St. Peter, "Lord, it is good that we are here," are spoken by a man who just moments before was in the grips of discouragement. And what a change there is. And so the disciples see that the end of the Savior's work is not the cross. The conclusion of his work is heaven. Just as the end of Lent is not Good Friday, the end of Lent is Easter Sunday. Because our journey, the journey of our life, is meant to take us to heaven. And it is a journey which is sometimes harsh and laborious, because we often have to go against the currents of opinion in our world, and we have to fight enemies in ourselves and outside of ourselves. And so God wants to strengthen us with the hope of heaven, especially at those moments when we feel we can't keep up anymore. This goal, our true homeland, is spoken of like this by St. John Chrysostom, who wrote, "In heaven, there all is repose, joy, and delight, all serenity and calm, all peace, splendor, and light. It is not a light such as we now enjoy, which compared with the light of heaven is no more than a lamp placed beside the sun. For in heaven there is no night or twilight, heat or cold, or any change in one's way of being. In heaven there is no old age or sickness or anything allied to corruption, because it is the place and home of immortal glory. And above all, it is the everlasting possession of the presence of Christ, of the angels and the saints, without any fear of the devil or the threat of his snares." That is the goal to which our captain, Jesus Christ, is leading us. It is a goal achieved through much struggle. But this struggle is not just for earthly glory or earthly ruin. The prize is eternal life or eternal death. And by giving us the hope of heaven, our Savior does not just inspire us for a moment. He actually communicates to us his own divine strength, so that we are strong in him and that we can achieve that goal with him. As we continue these holy days of Lent, we're going to begin a parish mission, March 15th, 7 o'clock, the first of 3 weeks. This is going to be a time for us to get the spiritual weapons we need to fight the good fight and to return to our homeland. But my friends, this isn't meant just for the few of us here this morning. This is meant for everyone. This goal, this true homeland, is the destiny of everyone here in Lindsay, of everyone here that we know and love. And so let's make a special effort to attend this mission, but also to bring those that we care about, those that perhaps we only know slightly, let's invite them to this wonderful and holy experience. And in those moments of discouragement, we can remember the words of St. Teresa of Jesus, who loved to think about heaven. She wrote, "If God ever causes you to suffer from thirst as he guides you through this life, it is because he will give you drink in plenty in the next life, without any fear of it running out." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.